This is RSVMB Update, episode 529, recorded Friday, August 7th, 2015, a daily dose of propaganda. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for RSVMB Update. As usual, or if it's your first time, welcome. Earth is back this week.
Hello.
You sound just like the planet we all know, remember, and enjoy every day when we set foot on you.
Thank you.
Good. So.
All right.
That's Lord Earth. In-game, in case anyone's wondering.
Damn right it is.
So we got an update this week to construction.
Is it the one that I've been waiting for?
Unfortunately not.
Damn.
Unfortunately not, but it might hold some of us over just enough, to forget that we actually want a more meaningful construction update.
Existent? Oh.
Well, this week's construction update is one of customization for how your house looks. And I think everyone knows that how your house looks is ultimately what makes it your own, right?
Uh-huh.
So, previously we were limited to, just changing basic things in terms of how the house looks. So, for example, like the paneling on the outside, you could have the basic wood, the basic stone, the whitewash stone, the Framenic wood, tropical wood, fancy stone, and then, of course, the dark stone after the wise old man quest. So we had all that before. I used the Falador fancy stone. How about you?
I haven't been able to pick yet. Not sure which one.
These existed all before.
Oh, the ones that are already there. Oh, sorry. I used the dark one.
Okay. So, I mean, we had some customization, but let's be real. Not enough. Not enough customization to really call it a home. You would expect that you could maybe have some variation in the furniture. Okay, you can choose what goes where and how much opulence you put into it. But still, that's just, kind of scraping the edge, so to speak, if you know what I mean, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this week we have customization that has been added for the ground texture, the dungeon, and the skybox. So let's start with the ground texture. Now, the default that everyone is going to have is the rough grass, which is what we've had since way back when this came out. And
did they update the rough grass thing to look better?
That's a good question, because I switched away from rough grass as soon as I could.
Yeah.
And the only time you wouldn't get rough grass previously is, of course, in the menagerie and in the formal gardens.
Yeah.
Nowadays, though, in the formal gardens, your texture of what kind of ground you're using does exist in the formal garden, but the menagerie still retains its own texture. So that might be worth something to you. But other choices for the ground are mown grass, desert, barren earth, and tundra. I mean, barren earth, just a dirt ground, nothing too special there. Desert, obviously.
I assure you all that I am not barren. I am quite fertile, thank you.
Really?
Uh-huh, my seed is quite good and desirable.
What has it caused to sprout as of late?
Oh, I can't tell you that.
Why not?
I just can't.
Oh, okay then.
Sorry.
And tundra is what we have way up north in the Arctic, which is, barren, but rocky.
Pretty sure that... No. Taiga is like the middle one, right?
Huh?
Do you not know what a taiga is?
I do not.
Taiga, also known as boreal forest or snow forest, is a biome characterized by coniferous forests consisting mostly of pines, spruces, and larches.
Okay, that's northern Alberta. But I was referring to way up north in the Northwest Territories and whatnot. But that would be tundra. So
what about,
there's the choices right there.
What about the Newfies?
Well, obviously do have a bit of tundra there because that is up north in far eastern Canada. So, yeah.
All right.
There's a bit of a Canadian geographic lesson there for everyone, I guess. Though we could go much more into depth than that. But if anybody would like to know about that, I invite you to send in a question, which you'll hear how to do in just a little bit later on in the show. So, then, of course, for the dungeon, you can choose rough stone, smooth stone, the desert, mountain mine, tropical cave, or stone blocks. Stone blocks are the default. Then
rough stone and stone blocks, like in that video that you made of all of the different textures. Nice plug for the YouTube channel.
You should be seeing that.
They
right
looked
now.
The same.
Yeah, they did.
Okay, so that wasn't just me.
Well, I mean, it might have been the video, but I think if you zoom in close enough, rough stone.
If I have to zoom in to tell a difference, it's the same.
I mean, it's a rock. It's a rock.
It's a rock.
Yeah, and I mean, whoever wants to argue about the characteristics of a rock might be a geologist, but I don't think it matters that much for the POH.
All right.
I mean, the texture is just more pronounced in rough stone, I think. Desert. That one look flat.
It's a rock.
Okay, let's forget
underground. Like, yes, it's going to be. It's gonna be flat.
Yeah, and as I said, tropical cave. Okay, it has some reminiscence of the tropical wood from up top, so that works, I guess. And I'm going with rough stone. How about you?
Mountain mine.
All right. And I should note that for the ground texture up above, I'm going with the mown grass.
Yeah, I think that's what I'd go with as well.
Yeah. And, you know, interesting thing. I never knew that mown was that form of the word for mow. I thought it was mowed.
It's like how snuck isn't a real word. Did you know that?
I didn't.
Sneaked.
Ah, true. That's right. Sneak makes more sense. Snuck is just one of those things that's happened over time.
Mm-hmm.
And probably what everyone is talking about the most is the lighting options. Day, dusk, and night. Day is the default now. Actually has, the standard RuneScape skybox, not... brownish, or I mean, I guess sandy color is what the fog color was in the POH before this update. So there's that. Dusk.
Dusk looks like Fallout New Vegas sky.
Yeah, and I mean, I said to you before we began here, dusk is either forced fire mode or oh, not this again, or nuclear fallout mode.
Oh, I was just laughing at you saying forest fire mode.
I said it right.
Although, yeah, like you did, and I'm proud of you.
Right on.
Right on.
Then there's
right
night...
on, dude.
Then there's night mode, which has a very nice picture of the moon, which is Zanaris, for anyone who didn't know. So.
That's Zanaris.
Oh, Zanaris, Zanaris, same thing.
Oh, it sounded to me like you said NRS. I didn't realize you were attempting to say Zanaris.
I said Zanaris. Let this not turn into a magical forest moment.
You forced my hand.
Ah. All right, and you can change all these options by talking to your estate agent, whichever one you might choose. And there is a cost associated with this. So I will have everyone know that for the good of this podcast, I spent around $200,000toggling all the options on and off to go with my final setting of mown grass, rough stone, and daytime. So... and of course, if you guys are watching this, you can see it on the video. It's been running. And I guess for those of you guys who have the audio version, I will put up the video on the RSBNB YouTube channel of this as well. So if you do not see this in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com, you can send me a PM during the week reminding me to put the video up. All right, so... let's talk about the little bug that came with this, shall we?
All right.
As it so happens, if you're running dusk or night mode and you hop a world, that setting will persist outside of your POH.
Nice.
So, in effect, they've added night mode and dusk to RuneScape, and the developers actually said that after this happened... they're not going to fix this bug. They might actually even look into adding
they're
a general...
They're not going to fix it?
No, they're actually going to add a general gameplay toggle.
Cool.
Now, I mean... there's always the potential for issues to crop up with different lighting effects and skyboxes. Because, remember, we got Draenor Village, which is nighttime. Then we got Falador, which is daytime. So... when you model something for a game, RuneScape included, in general, when you're deciding what colors to use and what kind of effects to put on your model, you do take into account what kind of ambient light it will be a part of. So I don't know if this is going to come quickly or in the near future, but there might be some issues with the toggle, adding a toggle to this that, you know, might have some areas not look all that great based on how they were textured. So that is an issue that you might run into if you're running around the world in night mode. So just keep that in mind, because this is obviously not a design feature, so you could have things that are not usable or might not look right. But anyways, with that being said, you think this is the right way to go?
Yeah, I think it's really cool.
All right.
People have been asking for that for years, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Especially ever since the skyboxes came out for the first time, right?
Exactly. And, I mean, you could say that this is, you know, a feature that's long gone by, but the reason Jagex actually hasn't put it out there is because there are, apparently were some real technical issues with having it automate, you know, twice a day to swap between the various skyboxes. So that's why they haven't done this, and they are looking towards a toggle option instead. With that being said, I probably won't be using this.
I think I'll try it out, see how it goes.
Yeah. All right. I mean, apparently this week there was also an update to fix some bloom issues, which, I mean, that deals directly with lighting. So if they're going to be adding night mode, well, maybe they've just decided to do that instead. If you Google RuneScape night mode, the first couple results do come up with galleries about this, and I'm actually showing some of these right now on the screen. So if you guys are watching the video version of it, you can see that. Priftinus looks really interesting in night mode, actually. Actually looks pretty good, if I must say so myself.
Hmm.
Let's see, what other ones are here? Runespan? That looks good. Honestly, I think any...
what does that look like normally?
Which?
Runespan.
It's got like a pinkish hue depending on what floor you're on, and if you go lower, it becomes more blue. It's like it's super high up in the sky.
Hmm.
Ooh, the vampire area looks pretty nice as well.
Are you doing this with, which one? Because I can't see you, unfortunately. Ah, you linked me.
Yes, I did.
Hooray, I like links.
Vampire area, the swamp, all good in night mode. Same, you know, it looks surprisingly good.
Yeah, that looks amazing, actually. Like, even just the skybox.
Yeah. I mean, who knew that there'd be stars and whatnot? Though I think we did see the skybox in last year's Halloween event. It does look familiar from that. I don't know if you guys recognize it.
I don't recognize it.
The desert, okay, that still looks a little sandy. So I don't know if that would be the right effect on the sand for that. Though, Fallout mod, I mean, obviously not Fallout, but that's what Dusk looks like, doesn't it?
What?
I said that's what the Dusk mode in the POH looks like, Fallout, right?
Yes.
And, I mean, it's just the color that it casts on things, so it's not...
It's orange, right?
Yeah, obviously, I don't think that was intended, but... I mean, I guess it could be the case for Dusk. I don't know. Maybe if you were pointing directly into the sun, but aside from that, I don't think so.
Don't look at the sun.
No, that's bad.
The update, do not condone staring directly into the sun.
Though if you get the proper lenses, it's okay.
No. No, we don't even condone that.
No, but I mean, like...
You can't condone things at all, or we're gonna get sued, Shane.
Oh, we'll be okay. You just gotta get the one...
I don't wanna get extradited to North Korea.
You just gotta get the ones that are suitable for solar eclipse viewing or welding. But anyways, some other changes to the POH this week, including when you attempt to build a second aquarium or games room, you're now prompted to move your existing one. So... basically, this means that you don't need to delete all the stuff that's in that house, which is nice. They already brought this up previously for the chapel and the costume room. So, we don't need to worry about that anymore.
Yeah, I was nervous when I redid my house that I was going to lose everything, but it worked.
Loading times have been improved so that when you leave and re-enter your house... in the same login session, it's faster.
Oh, thank God.
I honestly didn't feel anything being faster.
Oh.
Maybe it's just it didn't really feel faster.
Oh, well.
Do you know who Sir Renity is?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you not?
I do not.
He's the guy in Falador Castle that you can get paintings from, and you can get your family crest changed, and I think a couple more things.
All so, right, well, it's chat ops.
Yeah, his dialogue was annoying to get through.
Good.
So, good. They updated that.
And everyone knows that paintings and whatnot are the most important part of a house, right?
Yeah, I have some. Do you?
Yeah, me too. Yeah, definitely.
Good.
And building mode can now be toggled via a right-click option on the exit portal, so you don't need to go into the game options.
That's good.
I agree. All right, well, that's pretty much it for the construction update. One of our questions does touch on that. Later on, so we'll talk a bit more about day and night.
So what would you rate it out of 5?
Well, it's got to be a 4, because, I mean, it's not something that completely changes the way the game plays, but it's updates that are welcome. And, I mean, we've been told that there's no construction update coming, so I'll just take what I can get.
I was going to give it a 5, but then you reminded me that it wasn't the real construction update, so it's getting a 4.5. And a nice bug came out of it, too. So
yeah, day and night.
It's like day and night from the way it was before, right?
Yeah, and your perspective on this update is will be day and night after listening to this podcast, hopefully.
Haha! Jokes.
We're doing well, aren't we? Anyways, tweaks and fixes, including a whole boatload of changes from 15s, but we'll just start with what we want to talk about in the patch notes, as always. So first up, perfect juju dungeoneering potions now increase the chance of dropping dungeoneering journals.
Oh, man.
Okay, I get this, and I mean, you can obviously just spend the tokens on them if you don't want to wade through tons of dungeons or you're not getting the ones you want, so this is good by me. Gives those potions an actual use. Velocity in the Heffen Agility course now uses shortcuts. Previously, you had to decide if you're going to use Velocity, but there was, of course, the downside that, oh, if the window shortcut or whatever the other shortcuts are open, well, if you're using Velocity, your character won't take them. So now, using Velocity will make that Agility course even faster.
Oh,
I really like that Agility course. I think it is the go-to way to train if you have the level. Just because...
What level does it require?
75. And, you know, that's just so much less clicking than doing it.
I hope I never have to train Agility ever again.
Well, I got 99. So maybe you could too one day.
Home dentistry is also a viable option in comparison.
Well, I'll talk about your experiences later with divination then, won't we? Black crystals, which act as permanent dark crystals, can be unlocked by completing Morvan's special challenge. So basically what this is for the non-combat types is that in Morvan's Slayer special challenge, you're given a dark crystal. And these impair you in a number of ways, you know, ranging from reducing your defense, reducing your accuracy, reducing your strength, and so on. So basically what you can do is that you can unlock these and take them on as a permanent reward, which in turn, I mean, if you find Slayer too easy, well, you can make Slayer a bit harder now with these crystals.
Why?
I don't know why anyone...
Why would you do that?
I don't know. It doesn't seem like a smart thing to do if you're interested in training XP. I mean... Maybe I could see them adding achievements or challenges in later for this or
Please,
something like that.
Please, for the love of God, no.
Oh, I better not have said that then.
Oops. No.
Oopsies. Instance versions of the King Black Dragon and Calphite Queen now count towards Morvern's special challenge. That's
good. They didn't before?
No.
Why?
It seems
like an oversight.
Yeah, they could have just missed it, because, you know, that's two bosses out of however many that are included in this list, so...
I guess.
And besides, who really instances the KBD and Calphite Queen? Because those are pretty simple in terms of bossing encounters these days.
I don't go to those.
No, you're not a combat person.
Nope.
Now, here's something I got really excited about.
Uh-oh.
Shadow Core challenges will no longer be issued as a divination daily challenge.
What does that mean?
Well, in the divination area in Priftinus, the way they added divination to the city was that you kill the shadows, and then each shadow would have the potential of dropping a Shadow Core. And you get divination XP by depositing the cores. Now, the downside of this is that it's heavily RNG-based, which means that you're at the mercy of RNG for a daily challenge.
So you could be there for 20 seconds or 10 years.
Well, not 10 years and not 20 seconds, but a more sane range, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's see. The Cruis Clan's compost bin in Priftinus is now compatible with Generate Compost Scrolls. I don't know why anyone would need that, but I guess we can give the aspiring farmers something to be happy about.
Yeah, we can't all be as great as you, Shane.
I totally was not saying that.
Us novices.
Yeah. All right. Anything for you in the Patchy Patch Notes?
Patchy Patch Notes. Players can now use the alchemy spells with the loot window open.
Oh,
now,
yay.
I haven't gotten a chance to try this. Can you, like, alk things in the loot window, or just... Have you gotten a chance to try it?
No, this wasn't on my radar. Okay. I actually skimmed over this one until you pointed it out. But,
Well, in any case, it makes it a lot more convenient.
My guess would be that you can alk stuff up with the loot window open now, because if something is still in the loot window, it has not made the journey over to your inventory, and you cannot alk things that are not in your inventory.
Yeah, that's fair.
And you know, previously, if you tried a high alk and you were doing some kind of animation or something, or maybe your character was talking, you would get a message saying that you cannot perform this spell now.
Yeah.
So that would be my guess with that. Anything else for you?
Nope, that's it.
All right, there's one more that I wanted to highlight, and that is to do with the Sign of the Porters. Sign of the Porters do now work for coal and harmonized rocks and that kind of stuff. I don't know why it wouldn't have worked with coal before. So,
I don't know, man.
Yeah, it is divination, so. That skill is a bit questionable. Well, some people said so. I personally enjoyed it. It's one of my favorite skills in game.
What is wrong with you?
Well, I mean, nothing. But you just gotta think of divination as cooking or fishing, except the bank is a little spot in the ground that you go to, you know? That's the best way to think of divination, is that you're going to a fishing spot and then the bank is only a few steps away. That really is the best way.
I like it.
That's the best way. That's the best way. All right, and of course the Solomon Store summer sale is going on right now, so if you are looking for something, maybe an animation or an override, that would probably be the best time to pick it up, seeing as some items are on sale upwards of 60% off. So now's a good time to go take a browse in terms of items and whatnot. I might pick up a new teleport animation.
Oh, man. Though I don't need to get one of those, because
you don't use stones.
Wow, Prifdinas looks like it got nuked now. This is really cool. I like it.
Oh, so you're playing around in dusk mode then?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, maybe we should throw some video in the B-roll.
Maybe Prifdinas did make me wish for a nuclear winter.
That's a Fallout quote, isn't it?
Yes.
All right.
Patrolling the Mojave almost makes you wish for a nuclear winter. Because it's really hot.
Right. Okay. And from this week's developer Q&A, we got an exclusive preview of the upcoming action bar update. So you can have up to 5 action bars now on the screen at a time. So that's 50 abilities you can have keyboard shortcuts assigned to. Can you believe that?
What?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's going to be like Stowe is?
Yeah.
It's about time.
So I can finally use my 12-button mouse with RuneScape.
You could use it before.
Yeah, but I only had 10.
You have 14.
No, let me
14 things on the action bar.
But let me explain how this works. Normally with the first action bar, whether it be RS or Star Trek Online, I use the keyboard for that, right? So
sure.
Now, the thing I can do with the mouse is I can assign more complicated shortcuts to it, like Shift 4, Control 4, Alt 4, etc. So those can all be accessed with my mouse now.
But isn't that cheating?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I mean, Obviously, you wouldn't design a game with action bars and say you can't use an advanced mouse with it. Now, that being said, if you did set up a macro with a keyboard or a mouse, then yes, that would be cheating. CSRS doesn't allow macros. So do not do that if you have one of those Logitech or Razer keyboards or a mouse that can do something like that. Don't do that. That would be bad.
Just don't do it.
Yeah, and it's really nice, this preview video here. You can make them vertical, you can make them horizontal, you can make them, you know, be two rows of, let's see, two rows of seven. So, yeah, very nice. Wow. I'm honestly really amazed by this update, in case you can't tell.
I could tell.
Yeah. I think this is going to be my favorite update of 2015 when it comes out.
Good.
Yeah.
So it looks like if you travel to somewhere like Draenor and then that already has like a different skybox and then you go out of it, it sort of messes it up. So
define messes it up.
Hold on. It's uploading.
All right.
There you go.
All right, let's have a look at the screenshot that you just provided us here. Okay. Oops.
Doesn't really look like nuclear fallout.
Yeah, it looks like it reverted back to daytime mode, didn't it?
Unfortunately.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess if they bring out a toggle option for this, that's one thing that it would prevent from happening.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, everything getting nuked would be pretty bad, but at least the sky would be pretty.
Yeah, or it would look like a big forest fire.
You said it right again.
Yeah. And
I
you
like
have
the nuclear option, though.
Oh, boy. Here we go, the nuclear option. And you have 170 of some Slayer creature to kill, by the way.
The hell?
Yeah, see that 170 on your screen underneath the map?
Oh, how do I turn it off?
It's in the options.
God,
gameplay options by the XP counter, and you can turn off the Slayer timer. Or Slayer counter, rather.
Aha. Okay, it's gone. I made it better, everyone. No need to worry.
All right. All right, back on track. Also, from the developer Q&A this week, farming timers are on hold.
Aww.
It's okay. You don't need that update. We've got along this fine, you know, with farming without farming timers, so I honestly don't think we need them.
Man, it's like I'm playing Fallout, but I'm not. I really like this. This is great.
The reason behind putting farming timers on hold is the team that we're going to do the farming timers got tasked with doing the invention skill. So they got the design finished. They just need to find people to do it. But anyways, so if we can take you away from the RuneScape Fallout experience, looks like next week we're getting a bunch of ninja fixes, including Fistaguthix. You think people will actually play Fistaguthix now?
Is that it still exists? Like, do people
go there? Yeah,
it still
exists. Not anymore. That's why it's being spotlighted.
All right. I mean, so what are they doing to it?
Well, they're making it, for starters, so you're only going to need four people to start a game. They're also making it so that combat is more. Eight.
Hmm. All right.
They're also making it so that it's more uniform, as in it doesn't only benefit low levels, which is what Fistaguthix was initially geared towards. So it's going to have benefits for people of all combat levels. Also, we're looking at seeing coifs that... You remember the coifs being part of Fistaguthix?
Yes.
Well, they're making it so that the coif, crafting of the coifs can actually be done outside the arena, so you don't need to do that inside if you want to take a coif away. and also a bunch of other fixes coming with Fist of Guthix, including a cleaned up interface for toggling all the settings in RuneScape. So basically a way of interacting with Togglescape all in the escape menu.
Interacting with Togglescape.
Well, yeah, that's essentially what it's kind of become, right? So
I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah, so you'll be able to craft the quirks outside and just general quality of life stuff, though. I mean, I don't know if Fist of Guthix will actually become something that's played regularly like other games like Castle Wars and Pest Control, but if it's moved into a, you know, a mini game spotlight, then it actually might get played. So we'll have to wait and see how that all turns out, but that looks like what we're getting next week, which I guess is good because that means you get to spend Quest Week with us.
Yay, Quest Week! Because I won't be here next week.
You got another week to get 80 divination. All right. But anyways, so hopefully next week we'll also see action bars coming with that. That's going to be the thing that I'm going to be most excited about next week. So fingers crossed. All right. I think that's everything RuneScape related for this week. Anything else you'd like to mention before we move on to the questions?
I got nothing.
All right. Well, with that being said, we're moving on to questions. First one would be an audio question. Oh, wait, I did forget something. I got to share this with you guys. From the end of the behind-the-scenes video, if you haven't seen it, but Mod Raven is at it again with some very creepy faces that he's able to make. Just have a look at that GIF.
Very creepy.
Yeah. I gotta close that now. I'm just going to go back to the show notes and stop looking at that. Anyway, first one is an audio question from the RR man. Sorry, the RR man.
Hey guys, it's the RR man here. I'm back again. Also, good to see you back, Earth. Hope you had a good trip. How's your buddy Mars doing?
A
bit of planetary banter for you. All right, so these day and night cycles that they have in the houses now, supposedly, do you think it's a good idea to bring it to the real world? Or do you think they should put the weather system in the game? Or both? My opinion is they're going to have to do a shorter cycle, so maybe, well, I don't know, 6-8 hours or so, and have, you know, 2-hour blocks. So, like, you know, we got morning where the sunrise is coming up, and then middle of the day, sun's high in the air, then we got evening, and then, like, a, you know, pitch black dark. Because me over here in New Zealand, it'd probably always be nighttime if it was going off the JX clock. Oh my gosh, breaking news. I'm sure you might have already mentioned this, and I'm sure you don't want to mention this because it's bloody old school, but sailing is confirmed? What? Oh my gosh. I still don't want to play that piece of crap, but that is insane. There's going to be some dungeoneering stuff in there, it looks like. It's going to be like randomly generated seas. Oh, I hope you've already mentioned this, but does that make you want to play old school? Question mark. Alright guys, thanks for the show, and Shane, good luck opening that dimensional rift for that potential crossover. Wink. Peace out.
All right. So should this become an actual cycle or weather?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we don't talk about our guests before they're booked.
Okay.
Yeah, but
interesting. Well, I would like everything to look like it's a post-apocalyptic wasteland. So sure, yeah, give me.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Would you rather that or weather?
Post-apocalyptic wasteland.
Okay. As I said previously, the JMod said that they are planning on keeping this in-game through a toggle, so it would be more permanent, so it doesn't reset when you traverse Draenor to Falador, as you mentioned. But they did say there would be some issues with making it an actual cycle. But that being said, I do think there is merit in actually making it a day-night cycle with dusks and dawn. The reason being is just think of all the other interesting things that could happen from that. Imagine crops with farming you could only plant at night.
No, thank you.
Okay. imagine hunter creatures that would only come out at night. No?
No.
Why not?
Because we can't all play at any hour of the day.
Well, no, obviously it would be like a shorter cycle like the RR Man's Head, kind of like in the Pokemon games.
You're going to have to expand on that.
Well, they did have day and night in the Pokemon games, except it wasn't real time. I think it was like 10 times faster than real time.
All right.
So like a full day would take only 2.4 hours, and you'd have day and night cycles in between where you could only catch certain Pokemon and whatnot. I thought that was an interesting mechanic back then, and for a while I thought they could do something like that in RS. So
I don't know if it's needed. Well, none of it's needed. I don't know if they should do that.
Yeah, like you mean like a rotating cycle?
Yeah, I don't know if they should do that.
Because from what I understand, there's actually some technical issues behind it. So, I mean, it would obviously be taking, right? Likely not.
Isn't that what the farming timers are based off of, too, though?
Yes, that is a whole other discussion that we could have at some point. I should explain that one day. But I think it'd be a good idea. I don't know if we need to put that much development effort into it, so I'm going to go in the same camp as you here and say that, you know, it'd be nice, but it's not really necessary, eh?
Eh.
All right. But with that being said, it would be very interesting to see. So, old school and sailing. Make you want to log in?
I mean, to see, like, what in the hell's going on, sure. But to actually play, nah, probably not.
Yeah, same here. And I mean, with elite skills, we could probably get sailing, right?
I guess. I don't know why we're entertaining this ridiculous idea anyway, but
I mean, we've come close enough to sailing with player-owned ports, right?
Yeah, I guess. If I get to go to the Eastern Lands, then sure, do it, but
and that would be the perfect way to introduce the Eastern Lands.
It really would. You could get farther with higher skill.
Exactly. And, I mean, it would go back to a whole exploratory sense that we haven't had in RuneScape in years. So I think that, you know, while old school has essentially become a player-driven game with ideas put in if they're good, RS3 can take those ideas, expand them, make them better, and use them as a general direction to push the game, which is something Osborne said he wants to do in 2016. Now, whether or not sailing is a part of that as an elite skill, I don't know, but the idea is out there, and player-owned ports has already given us enough of the lore to, you know, have a brief description of what is actually out there.
Yeah. So, I may log in to see what it's all about, but it's not going to make me play it.
And, I mean, they don't even have the high-detail graphics yet, do they?
No. Did they do the resolution thing? Because that was why I couldn't play it. Because it was still stuck at, like, 6... What was it? Is 800 by 600?
640 by 480.
Seriously? It's 640 by 480?
Yeah, that's what the game window was. But the... Or, like, the actual thing that displayed your character... But the, you know, the whole window, including all the chrome, was 800 by 600.
Oh my God.
I mean, they did do that. But, I mean when you consider what the...
smaller monitors back then, but... Ugh. Mm-hmm. Ugh. Well,
but
smaller
consider what the graphics look like in old school as well. Do you really want to be sailing on that old water?
No.
Compared to the water in RS3? So... I don't know. I won't log in. I'll just wait to see if we ever get sailing.
You'll just make me do it.
No, we don't even need to cover it if you don't want to.
But eh.
Anyways, yeah, day and night, RuneScape, post-apocalyptic, whatever. Do you have a screenshot of Falador or wherever you are with that?
I sent it to you. You looked at it.
Yeah, you sent me one with a blue sky, not an apocalyptic
sky. Oh, shit. Okay.
And why do you have a Windows XP mouse cursor?
What?
Yeah, your mouse cursor is Windows XP.
That's just the default mouse. Isn't it?
No, that's not the Windows 7 or Vista cursor. That's the XP mouse cursor.
The hell?
Yeah, look at the screenshot you said. And while you're doing that, send me the one of the post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, let me go to Falador. I'll get that to you. Yeah, that's what my mouse looks like. It has the nice little arrow thing, like when it's doing stuff.
Look at the screenshot you took.
Yeah, no, anyways. It looks the same.
Weird.
Yeah.
Oh, I see you got your divination stuff, too, there. That's good. That's good. As you can tell, divination is one of Earth's favorite skills.
Piss off. So that's what Falador looks like after Gilenor has been engulfed by nuclear war.
Yeah. After Ronnie Reagan's unsuccessful attempts at defeating the Cold Union.
The Cold Union. The Cold Union, Shane.
Yeah, that was a bit of an oopsie moment. Sorry about that. I meant ending the Cold War and defeating the Soviet Union.
All right. And we can talk about Ronnie Reagan later.
Oh, good. All righty. Next question would be from Thieves. You want to read it or shall I?
I'll read it. Hey, fellas. If you could choose a quest to be completely scrapped and rewritten, like Romeo and Juliet, which would you choose and how would you change it? Birthright of the Dwarves, anyone? And second, whilst not being the biggest fan of the Sixth Age storyline and the fact that Maud Osborne wants it finished, what would be the most satisfying conclusion for you? And that question is from Thieves.
Definitely rewrite Birthright of the Dwarves.
Yeah. I don't really think anything else needs to be said.
Like, that was a Maud John A quest, I believe, and it just didn't deliver as the way all his other quests did. So it would have been nice to see something better from that. But Birthright of the Dwarves. But as to not look like I am just copying your answer, Thieves, I actually do have my own answer for this one here. And I would actually say that a quest that could be, you know, rewritten and totally rediscovered and, you know, maybe used to provide some better, I guess, knowledge or early experience on the RuneScape world would be Cook's Assistant. I would actually have the new version of Cook's Assistant, if it was rewritten, take place on Ashdale, seeing as that's a new tutorial area. As it is, Ashdale right now isn't used aside from the tutorial and the quest that was there in the weekly boss fight. Yeah, there you go. Not used aside from that. So I would add this as something that a new player can do as their first quest. And, I mean, we already have kind of a first quest with the Ashdale quest. But still, this is a more traditional quest that goes back to what RuneScape used to be. So if you could rewrite that, have it take place on Ashdale, use all the new aesthetics and environment effects, I think you'd have a pretty good quest. So I am for Cook's Assistant on Ashdale. You gonna go with good. Birthright of the Dwarves or
yes.
Come up with something else? Okay.
Because God knows I don't want to do anything like Broken Home ever again. So
how about one small favor?
Sure.
Oh, okay. Fair enough then. And for number two, Sixth Age conclusions. This is a question that I could have a lot of fun with. But do you want to go first?
I don't know. I want to see what they do with it. Like, I know that's kind of a cop-out, but they're the designers, not me, so...
Obviously, they can come up with a better idea than players, and that's precisely why Rune Labs was never to be a lore driver.
Yeah.
So, let me just throw this idea out there. It's really high in the sky. I honestly don't think anything like this would ever happen, but it could. And, I mean, it would certainly solve a lot of the issues that the Sixth Age has brought up, and it would, in a way, bring peace. And the idea is that you have some central figure, some powerful central figure, you know, whether it be an Elder God or Zaros or something like that. Though I don't know if it would be Zaros' way to do this, probably an Elder God's way more likely, would be to kill all the minor perpetrators of the Sixth Age. So Sliske and any of the other gods that don't fall into line, like Big Bird and whatnot. So at the end of the day, you'd end up with, you know, just core gods who, you know, might have an interaction on the world, but aren't outright searching for deep influence, you know, to gain power as they were back in the first God War. And I mean, we've been through the whole thing about Zamorak wanting to, you know, prevent stagnation and whatnot. But you can argue either way that that's good or bad. So I don't know whether he'd be on the Elder God's target or not. But I think it'd be interesting to have the Elder Gods take on what's been going on and ask them which of any of the lesser gods, if any, they find offensive and should not even exist. And then, I mean, obviously the player would prevent the ultimate destruction of the Elder Gods wanting to, you know, just destroy all the corrupt living beings and whatnot, though. Would the Elder Gods ever do that?
I don't know. We'll because see, sense, though.
Because the sense that I got from the Elder Gods is that they are incredibly angry about some of the stuff that's been happening. So, I mean, I don't know if they would harm the world, seeing as they created it, but they might harm the inhabitants that are causing trouble.
I don't know.
And I said that's just a completely high-in-the-sky idea. I don't even know if it makes sense lore-wise if the Elder Gods would do such a thing. But it would certainly solve a lot of the issues and leave us with a lasting peace. Hopefully. Though, I'm in the same boat as you, as saying I'll leave this to Jagex. Alright. Thank you, Thieves. And if anyone would like to send in questions, you can do that in a number of ways. A number of easy ways, too. Audio questions we like. They can be emailed to questions@rsbnb.com. Or they can be phoned in to our phone number, 571-57BNB, which is 571-572-2632. We really do like the audio questions, so that would be nice
yes,
if we could get
please.
Some of those.
Less reading.
And of course we can also take text messages to that same number, the Google Voice number, which I will repeat again, which is 571-572-2632. And you can find all this and the link to the weekly questions topic in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. Alright, so there's our questions for the week. Thank you, Thieves and the RR Man. So, off we go to tech news. Facebook launched a live streaming service that some people are calling FaceScope after combining Facebook and Periscope. But
what?
There's one catch. Yeah.
Where did they get the
catch.
Periscope from?
Well, no. I mean, people are just calling it FaceScope because of the Periscope thing. But that's not actually, it's just called Facebook live streaming. But there's a big catch. Do you know what it is?
You have to sign in?
No, it's for celebrities only.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Though based on your reaction, I don't think that's much of a problem for you, because I mean, would you ever live stream anything that's not a video game?
People stream things other than that?
Yeah, I mean, people...
Like what?
Live stream, well, campaign events.
Who would want to watch those? I don't consider those... Because those are on TV. So I don't really consider those a live stream. Like, sporting events, that's not really a live stream in this sense.
Yeah, and I mean, you can really get hit on the copyright front by live streaming a sports game as well. If you're using Periscope, they don't like it when you do that.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, it's a Facebook VIP feature, apparently. That's all rung at Facebook accounts. When they start a live broadcast, it's posted to the newsfeed, as with any other video, except it's real time. And people can comment in real time, and then while it's being played back at a later time, the comments appear as they were made.
That's cool.
Yeah, and I mean, that's something that's kind of been missing from the whole live streaming thing, I think, with Twitch, especially. Though, I get where you're going with the sigh, because...
No, I disagree. Hold on.
Okay. I thought you were going to say that having comments...
Your favorite website, there's something for that.
Oh?
Yeah, I linked you.
Oh, let's see. What is this? Oh, yeah,
that's
I
a baseball
see.
Game. Like, it does the Reddit comments in real time. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, as you can see, there's some profanity on that page.
Oh, no.
But, I mean, yeah, I guess you could do it there, but I think all-encompassing solutions are better to a degree.
All right, no, Mr. Small Government.
Well, I mean, aside from that, because in a product, if something is all-encompassing, that's good. But I think you got the wrong idea there. But I don't know. I think it'd be interesting if they carry on with this and bring it out to the mass Facebook user base at some point in the future. Because, I mean, do you know anyone aside from me that doesn't have Facebook on their phone?
Amish man?
I see the connection you're trying to make there, but okay.
I don't.
Oh, I thought you were calling me Amish.
Why would I do that? You're hosting an RS podcast that's being... No. It's, no. Wrong.
All right, correct, I thought we did have some Amish connotations about me previously, but we'll leave that for post-show.
All right, if you insist.
But anyways, videos also with Facebook live stream don't disappear, whereas on Periscope they time out after 24 hours. So, I mean, I honestly think this is one of the more unique and interesting ideas that Facebook has come up with since the failure of their email program.
How is an email program unique?
I was the only one jumping up and down about it, but the @facebook.com emails were the most revolutionary thing to ever happen to email.
Gmail offering
no
lots and lots of storage for free?
Well, every 10 years, something big has to come around, right? I think this was sufficiently enough time after Gmail that you can call it and Gmail revolutionary. But we're getting off track here. If anyone wants to know about that Facebook.com stuff, you can ask a question or ask me later or something like that. But
you could send him a PM on the forums, which are at rsbnb.com/forums.
Nice work.
It's nice plug. Come on, Shane. Yes.
Anyways, so if you guys watch any of these Facebook live streams, let us know what you think. I'd be interested to know if you guys think it's as interesting of an update as I do. Though probably not. Alrighty. So next story is about Reddit and Reddit updating its community content policy.
Yay!
So basically what they are doing is they are quarantining subreddits that are deemed as extremely offensive, meaning you will not see anything from these subreddits unless you actually go out and look for it. And secondly, if there's even stuff that is worse and does not warrant a quarantine, they are outright banning and deleting that content, which didn't they do that before with some really bad ones?
Yeah, I think those were like illegal things like child pornography.
Right.
But like if you scroll down a little bit on that page, I am not going to say any of those that were banned, but they're very, very
racist.
Yeah,
and I don't even want to show them.
Yeah, don't.
Yeah. So
I mean, link is in the show notes if you want to know what was banned, but it's pretty bad.
And the question I always ask is what took so long? And I'm not going to, you know, go into the why or how of that, but I'm just going to say that I'm very happy that they've finally decided to do that. And it, to me, at least makes Reddit a little bit more appealing, let's say.
Shane, when have you ever gone to any of those subreddits that were banned?
None. But just the idea, never, I mean. But just the idea that something on there could be allowed to exist like that causes problems for me.
All right.
Yeah. Because for those of you guys who don't know out of the show, I'm an incredibly moralistic kind of person. And I think that every website on the internet does have the duty or responsibility to try and uphold a decent set of morals about whatever they're engaged in. You know, whether it be RuneScape or whether it be Reddit hosting various discussion forums. Like, for example, here, I don't go and talk about, you know, the various firings of whatever JMod, because I honestly don't think that's something that's right to talk about on this podcast. We're not about gossip, and, you know, we only want to talk about what has actually been put out and sanctioned by JAGEX. So unless they issue a news release, we're not going to talk about it. So.
All right.
I am happy that they did this, though.
Uh-huh.
Right on.
Right on.
Final piece of
dude.
Yeah, right on. Okay. I don't use that lingo, but I guess that's fine. What? Their problem with that?
I don't use that lingo.
Well, you said right on, dude. I only used half of it.
25%. No, 66%. Ah, math. Let's go.
Yep.
Speaking of math.
Verizon is no longer going to be subsidizing new phones for new customers. Though if you are an existing Verizon customer, you can potentially still get a subsidized phone.
Wait, so you're going to have to pay like $700 for a phone now?
Uh-huh.
Oh, they're boned.
Yeah, I mean, AT&T is still doing this, and even offering
the
contracts as an option. I don't know. I mean, when you got your Windows phone, that was subsidized, I assume, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And otherwise, it's like you're spending $800 on a mini pocket computer that's going to last you for, what, 3 years? Maybe two?
Yeah. I mean, this one, I'm planning on keeping it for a while, but it was $200 to upgrade. So.
Which isn't very bad.
No, that's entirely reasonable to spend $200 every 2 to 3 years for something you use on an hourly basis.
Yeah,
I
agree. And I mean, I don't know what kind of phones Verizon sells or what kind of customers they have, but when the new iPhones come
out,
not
many after this.
Yeah, people aren't going to be going to Verizon for the new iPhones.
Yeah, like I never would have gotten an iPhone if I had to pay $700 for it. That's absurd.
Exactly. I mean, for example here, Verizon also is doing a new kind of rate plan, small, medium, and large.
which is amusing because the small plan, which costs $30 a month, gives you 1 gigabyte. Currently, since I got grandfathered in, I have unlimited data, which I pay $30 a month for. So,
yeah, that was back in the
olden days.
Customers
who go over their monthly limit will pay a rather hefty $15 per gigabyte for more data. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
All right, how long do you give them?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, the question is, will the others, AT&T, and who's the third big one in the U.S.?
T-Mobile, but they did that a while ago.
Oh, okay. So the question is then,
AT&T still offers the option to buy a subsidized phone with a 2-year contract.
Will AT&T just jump on board now? Because the other two have? Because that's normally what happens here, is that if you go to Rogers, Telus, or
and Bell, had been steering most customers towards its next installment billing options. I'm not sure what that means. Let me pull up my bill. You continue on talking about this while I look that up.
I was going to say, here in Canada, if one cell provider is having a sale, within a week, the other cellular providers will also be having a sale, and the price is going to be the same for all three. So that's why I was asking, well, if AT&T falls into line, the question is, where do you go if you want a contract? And where do you go to actually get a decent bucket of data? Because, I mean, this is even worse than what we have here, believe it or not. Here, you pay $60 and you get 2 gigs of data shared, but you can also add phones onto that and share them between the or share the data between all the phones. So I think this is even worse plan than you'd see in countries like Canada. Here.
How much do you pay if you're willing to share this data for one of your phones?
Well, if you bring your own phone, it's...
No, like monthly rate.
Well, it's a base of $60 for 2 gigs of data, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then for each smartphone that you add on, you add another $60.
Oh, so your family goes with like a family one?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So like how much does that end up being?
I think it's like 180 a month.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
So I think I'm still paying, or my family is still paying more, because right now I have National 450 with rollover, which is $40 a month, and then I have unlimited text, which is 20, and then unlimited data for 30. So
that's
pay
$90.
Yeah.
And that's one person.
Yes.
Okay, and then if everyone else had something similar, you'd multiply that. So that's kind of steep.
I think my mom has the same one. But so they pay $20 a month. So to get I don't know. It's the having to pay for the whole phone, though, that gets me.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, especially when you look at, you know, the base prices of the iPhones and whatnot, specifically the 6, because last year the 6 was introduced at a higher price than the existing 5, and or 5S, rather, and the 5S
And what price is that?
I don't know the American price. I think it's something like $8.99 Canadian for the 6 and $7.99 for the 5S. 16 gig models, of course. So, I mean, it is expensive, and we just do not have the competition to, you know, foster decent consumer-based plans. But at the end of the day, you have this Google Fi service that's also mentioned in the article here, and we talked about before on Tech News, $20 a month for unlimited calling and texting, and data is $10 a gigabyte. So the question is...
$8.50 for an iPhone 6 Plus. Or $7.50 for iPhone 6 Plus, lowest model. Off contract.
Okay.
Like,
here,
I mean,
it's...
It might be a little cheaper in the long run, but it's that upfront investment that's...
Yeah.
No.
I mean, it is cheaper in the long run here to buy your devices outright.
But, I mean, your average person isn't just going to have $700 to throw down, right?
Yeah.
It's easier to spend like $20 more a month than it is to make a big purchase like that. But I think we beat this to death. Really.
Yeah. $839 for an iPhone 6 off contract and $969 for an iPhone 6 Plus. Yeah.
Very expensive.
But how much data do you use monthly?
I'll get that graph up.
Because $20 a month and then $10 per gigabyte. So that would only be, I mean, if you do three a month, that's only $50 a month.
I mean, it definitely varies month to month, depending on what I'm doing. It's gone down, I'm sure, since I got real internet here at home instead of DSL. But I remember it's been up to like 8 or 10 before.
No, oh, okay, so you're good with what you
I have used it, yes, and I mean, it's still, I'm pretty sure it's cheaper than the other data plans.
And it would be, because, I mean, you are getting LTE, unlimited LTE, really.
Correct.
So,
Yeah, 3 gigs is $30, so... I definitely
we should all move to like
that value.
We should all move to like Korea or the Netherlands or something and get good mobile data.
Yeah, but then you'd have to live in Korea or the Netherlands. No, thank you.
Yeah, and I can't speak Korean and I can't play StarCraft that well. So
yeah. So all right.
But we know lots of nice people in the Netherlands, right?
I know one person who lives in the Netherlands.
Oh. Okay, I know three. Okay. Anyways, time for a Skill of the Month update.
Dear God.
Yes, it is fishing for August, and...
Oh, I was looking at July. Okay.
Yeah,
oh, are we talking about that, or...
Yep.
Yes, okay.
No, we're talking
you,
about
you
August.
You typed July.
Right, well, that's my fault.
Gosh,
but
man.
We currently have a very close... race going on between JED Dunster
so.
1 and Tim. JED Dunster 1 has 1.9 million XP gained, while Tim has 1.8. So
uh-oh.
We have a little race going here for first. So the question is, once again, will Tim be defending or will he yield pole position to someone else as he did in June?
Interesting. Good questions. Tune in next week to find out.
To find out who has flatlined, who has made the breakthrough, and ultimately, who has discovered the secret competition, or the secret to winning over the hearts and minds of the little fishies in the RSVNB.
That's a terrible advertisement. I wouldn't buy that.
I was trying to make it sound like a newscast for a race, but anyways. Achievements of the week.
So J1, J2, J3, also known as Trekkie, got 99 construction on August 6th, 2015. Tyler got 99 runecrafting on August 3rd, 2015. And Obliterateric got 99 fishing on August 2nd, 2015.
Good job,
yeah.
Everyone.
All right, so my pick this week is another album. It is I was listening to some Spotify and I was listening to Tony Bennett and I was just listening to his top songs and I heard this song with a female singer that I really liked and I went to see who it was and it was Lady Gaga. Apparently Tony Bennett, who's Tony Bennett is very classical person like Frank Sinatra or Dean Martin. He's like 90 years old, if that gives an indication of the time period. But apparently he did an album in 2014 with Lady Gaga, and it is instantly one of my favorite albums that I have ever heard. So that's my pick.
Well, that's good.
Definitely check it out. Shane, if you could get an iTunes link, because you know, when I installed Windows 10... I no longer have iTunes installed, so...
I will get an iTunes link and put that in the show notes.
Yeah, I'll send you the Spotify link so you can figure that out. So,
all right. So do they... Are they covering new songs, old songs, their own combined work, or...?
I think they're covers of older songs. No. Actually, I think all of them are older songs, but they're, like, classes... classic songs like Anything Goes or It Don't Mean a Thing If It Ain't Got That Swing. It's excellent. Check it out.
All right. I had no idea Lady Gaga could be involved in something like that.
I had no idea she was that talented. Like, or that she, not that she was that talented, like she could sing like this. Like she sounded right in. She did not sound out of place at all, like, right there with Ella Fitzgerald or, excuse me, Ella Fitzgerald or who else is from that time period?
Bing Crosby?
Bing Crosby, there you go. Frank
Sinatra. That was right?
Yes.
Wow. I never even listened to him.
Oh, he's great. He's great. One more that I'm thinking of, but I'm blanking on her name. Ella Fitzgerald and...
Katy Perry?
No, but Katy Perry is great. And no, it isn't Taylor Swift. Although I also love Taylor Swift. Billie Holiday. That's who I'm thinking of.
Alrighty, sounds good. You can find link and, of course, audio previews to all this on the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. And, you know, that's one thing iTunes does really well is that their song previews are now 1.5 minutes long. So you can really get the true idea if you want to buy something or purchase the album before you press that purchase button.
Or you could
back
go
in the
to
day,
Spotify.
They only used to be 30 seconds. What if you don't have Spotify installed?
Well, that is an easy fix because you could just go to this link, download it, and then run, and it will automatically install Spotify for you.
All right.
So stick that in your pipe and smoke it, Shane.
Okay, so what have we been doing? You want to go first or should I? Because you have a lot more to talk about.
You go first, because, I've been gone a while.
All right. Well, this week on RuneScape, I passed the 85 million mark in my farming XP. So it is coming very nicely right now. And I would also like to say that this week, with the help of Thieves here, who sent in our question, got 95 thieving. Because apparently the... Pristina's elves are good money making still at level 95 thieving, so that's another way of making money. So I did get 95 thieving this week by pickpocketing from the dwarf traders in Keldirim. It's a very nice place to go thieving if you ever need to go thieving, because once you get the guards trapped in the room, you just spam click and away you go. So if you have north of 90 thieving, that's the place you want to go, I believe. Better than Pyramid Plunder, which I just find... I don't like Pyramid Plunder. What do you think of Pyramid Plunder? No?
I thought that was a very clear answer.
All right. Well, in addition to that, this week I did finally get around to updating our equipment calculator on RSBNB to have all of the new combat abilities from raids and the Tuska event. So if you are interested in combat and, well, maybe sharing some of your combat success with people, you can head over to our equipment calculator and fill out an action bar setup and a player setup and all that other kind of good stuff. So we got Tuska's Wrath, Shatter, and Corruption Shot, everything from Mazcab in there. So give that a go if you've never seen our equipment calculator. And we do not have the Raids armor in there yet. I'm working on a solution for that, but everything else up to Raids should be in there and available. So that's the equipment calculator.
Woo!
But yeah, now let's hear about you.
All right.
In addition to the divination.
So I've been gone, what?
2 weeks.
So the first week, I was just getting back from a trip to my grandmother's when the show was being recorded. So I wasn't on the show that week. And then the week after that, what was going on? Oh, I just...
Birthday.
Yes, my birthday. That's right. 21st birthday. No, I did not get wasted. But, yeah, I wanted to take that day off, too, so I could spend it with my family. So, yeah, that's what's been going on in my... What has been going on in my life. This week, Monday, I had dental surgery, and Shane's clue scroll thing did not work.
It needs to be major.
Add qualifiers to it. Next time I'm going to... I get major dental surgery, it doesn't work. You're going to say, no, you have to go to this one doctor in Canada. No, it has to be on this date. Excuses. So that was fun. It was a little crazy after that. But
you found the secret to divination trading.
Oh, yeah! Yeah, that's right! What was my exact quote?
I don't recall, but it
was... Something was... like, you need to... I figured out how you need to train divination. Get really high. Right? Because I was put on some anti-anxiety things beforehand because I really don't like needles. And this was my first time getting this kind of surgery, so that was fun. So, like, afterwards, did you, like, talk to me on voice at all that day?
No. Yeah, just text.
I was talking to some of my friends, and they found it hilarious, so I must have been, like, pretty out of it. And Shane...
You were, because 8 hours after you said your screen was moving side to side.
Oh my god, really?
Yep.
Okay. But I logged into RS.
4 hours before that is when you were doing your divination training.
Yeah, so I logged into RS for some reason, and I just went to the Elder Halls to do divination, and, like, I was able to do it without wanting to die. And I just told Shane, all right, to train divination, you just need to get really high. So, I do not condone any of that unless you are about to have dental surgery, and this is something that was prescribed by your doctor. But just my experience. Let's see, what else have I done this week? I went into work on Tuesday, and then I took Wednesday and Thursday off. Wednesday and Thursday, I worked on a mod for Fallout New Vegas. And this was in to commemorate the first presidential debate. And this mod is a companion called Ronnie Raygun, Commie Neutralizer.
Send me the link so I can show it on the screen.
He is fully voiced with your Shane's favorite Ronald Reagan quotes. Let's see.
That actually looks pretty good now that I see it in game.
Yeah. Like, it's not bad. Well there's done. There's not that much I can do with the Fallout engine at this point because I'm not very good at like making the actual model. Would you like to read the credits?
Yeah, I would. Credits. Ronald Reagan, Nancy Reagan, George H.W. Bush, Jesus, the Republican Party of the United States of America, the United States of America, the National Rifle Association, the Film Actors Guild, capitalism, supply-side economics, trickle-down economics, voodoo economics, and small government.
So, yeah. Which quote would you like me to play, Shane?
The one about liberty and contraction.
As government expands, liberty contracts.
That one?
Yeah, that's excellent.
There you go, everyone. There's your daily message of propaganda from RSBNB update.
Right on. I completely condone that.
All right. So, yeah, that's all I've been doing. Exciting.
All right. Yeah, very
Would
much
you like
so.
A link
and
in the show notes?
Yeah, we will put a link in the show notes to that mod in case anyone plays that. There's, lots of other good sounds in there. So, if you, I guess, need a Fallout companion, you can check that out. Right on. Well done.
Right
so
on,
I believe
dude.
That's it. That's it for this week's RSBNB update. So anything else you'd like to say to the dear listeners before we go?
Just that I won't be here next week because I'm moving back into university. So
that is right.
We're working on getting a special guest on the show, right?
That is correct. Just waiting
for
final
stay
confirmation
tuned for that.
About updates, but it'll be a good one.
Yeah. So.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, everyone, and sharing your time with us. We'll see y'all next week. I am Shane12088 with the very divine Lord Earth.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.